All right, the button is pushed this time.
For real.
Yeah, shit! There it is. There it is.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, it's terrible. And I'm sure there's somebody else out there who's like, why the fuck did they start this way? And just kind of nice things is really what it comes down to.
Because, yes, we need a little bit of joy in our life. And
no shit.
If signing on that way is how we get it, that's how we get it.
Whatever makes you happy, buddy. That's what I'm here for, really. Like, ultimately, that's my goal.
All right, Brandon. Well, we are part of the Hard Knock Media podcasting network, so I feel like we should come up with the proper intro besides just screaming shit.
Okay,
but cool. We'll work on that later.
Like, if you could just put a bed in while I'm screaming of a bass line from Jay-Z's Hard Knock.
Ding, 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 like, ding.
Yeah.
Right when Hope
says take the bass out, that's when I'll start in with my all shit, and then
yeah, I'll come up with like a bumper, and
definitely get us shut down for copyright infringement. Oh, really shit.
That's true. I'll think of something. I'll send it to Keith, and he'll be like, "What the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
No, I can't use any of this."
So anyway, you can visit us at hardknockmedia.com. Knock as in Nerds of Color, so it's NOC, and you can see all the other podcasts that are on the network. Most of them are much more sophisticated than ours. We're kind of low on the totem pole. they talk about issues.
I informed we were middle of the pack of sophistication. God damn it.
It's
the redneck cousin, never the bridesmaid. Yeah, it's just really what it is.
Most of the other podcasts on the network talk about issues. You come to us when you just want to kick back and relax and listen to two dumbasses talk about whatever the fuck.
Yeah. I promise you, nothing of substance will come from this direction at the very least.
yeah. All right. Oh shit. I need to talk to Keith about getting hats or banners or whatever, so we can like whore ourselves out and put like Nerds of Color stuff,
like a pop-up backdrop sort of thing, or whatever it is.
Backdrops for us or whatever.
No, I'm down with that. A t-shirt I can mangle, whatever it is. Just things.
And I think we need to start thinking about like getting people together to see Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay.
I
thought about it. We should do that.
We should do that. We should pick a theater. We should pick a time. We should do all this stuff. So
yes. Yeah. pick a theater, and we will just start whoring ourselves out about this. The countdown is real. Like,
Yeah. I'm so excited. All right. Well, anyway, without all the announcement stuff out of the way, Brandon Chalmers, what have you been geeking on since I last saw you?
So I decided to go to Hunfest last weekend and started to really dig into street photography and some other stuff like that, and just kind of really digging deep into my camera. Yeah, just trying to just get more into the settings and get more comfortable with it and get more confident with it. And I learned something very important, Jay Minoguchi. One, I'm scrub as fuck. Two, I need to just work on my technique. So therefore, for the entirety of for another 30 days from this point forward, I am only using my fixed focal lens.
Nice.
I am not putting another lens on this thing. I don't even think I'm going to bring another lens with me. I am going to learn to shoot the world from one range, and if there's a shot that I want, I'm going to go find it, and I'm going to figure out a way to take it that way, as opposed to being a cheating son of a bitch and letting my tech do the work for me.
You don't
do you
like
hear
the
me,
zoom?
Dan Malahone, with your fancy ass camera? That's right, calling you shit out.
You don't like the fancy zooms?
I like the fancy zooms, but what I realize is that if I want to start taking photos of people, zooming in, I should be able to move myself around and have better control over my own equipment and not pay attention to, like, what's the new thing I need? I need to learn how to properly use my tech better. There's absolutely nothing wrong with my camera body, nothing wrong with any of my stuff.
For sure.
Some things feel better than others. This fucking kit lens that this thing came with, this thing feels like trash. It sucks.
I don't like that one.
I don't like that one either. You tried it out, so it makes me feel like it's not just me. But the point is that I've got good tech.
Sure.
I need to just hone my skill. So that is what I'm nerding about, is understanding and tutorials and trying to really fiddle around with things and, like, just feel more confident with my rig in my hand.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to take photos and not be afraid to ask. By the way, if anyone is curious about street photography, go to Hunfest. Here's the reason I say this. It is full of people who are aching, yearning, have a burning desire, a fucking Rocky montage's worth of buildup, have their photo taken. Yeah. Burning Heart just starts firing up in the background. Yeah. And they are, they get dressed, they prep, they do their hair, they've got all the accoutrement. Like, they are in it to win it. So the second you go walking around there and you go, hey, can I take your picture? It is convention levels of, like, excitement.
Can you?
It's world. It's wine moms who love attention and convention kids who are super proud of their costumes combining together to take photos.
Oh my god. We should,
like, the only downside is I never got any candids ever.
Yeah. But still, I mean, there's something fun about, like, people posing for you anyway in, like, their goofy costumes and shit like that.
Yeah, they love it, and they're prepared for it, and they're super excited about it.
Yeah.
I've got to figure out a way to try and get people on the street that if they're going to pose, to do something other than the same sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's just that it was Hunfest and everybody kind of has the same sort of thing where it was like, behold my hair! And it's like, okay, you know, no, I get that. Like, good for you guys. But, like, I want some sort of – like, it would have killed me if I could have got, like, some sort of, like, four Huns, two of them, like – or, like, four Huns all doing, like, the Captain Ginyu Force sort of thing or whatever.
Oh,
like,
shit, yeah.
Right, like just something fucking ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. Like, if I could get the two of you to dab and the other two down on your knees just giving me that hard fucking high five. Yeah, like, I need something.
I have thoughts about this. One, we need to start looking for random festivals that happen in our area.
Yes.
But two, I know you're not a fan of the conventions, but KatsuCon in that open area in the lobby and stuff, we do not have to pay for a ticket to get into KatsuCon.
Yes, you do.
To get into the lobby? Changed. Oh, they changed that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yep. Yep, and now that I'm not involved anymore, I'm not fucking giving KatsuCon money. Fuck them.
We could also hang out in the parking lots and get people as they're coming.
So just hang out front in February weather?
Yeah, and have people, like, while they're walking by pose and stuff.
But honestly, like, if you are into cosplay and that is your jam, and I know being on this network, there are a lot of people respect for that sort of thing, and I am happy to go and pay for a ticket to con and enjoy it. And I have enjoyed cosplay, being part of Super Art Fight for years, going to conventions.
Yeah.
I have the utmost respect.
Yeah.
When it comes to that con, I will not, in good conscience and money, I'll gladly go down and I'll go pay Awesome Con.
Oh, for sure.
We'll go to Awesome Con
for sure. Actually,
I'll go. God, what was it? What was the one that was at the Gaylord, but it was the science fiction convention? I can't remember what
Right.
the
fuck. I didn't get to do that show, but yes, I remember that one.
There were a ton of really great people who were cosplaying things, and the most hardcore dudes in their 40s who were definitely dads playing Klingons.
Yes.
And no more a committed group of cosplayers than Klingons who are arresting people for charity jail.
That's great. Oh, there is another event around Halloween time. It's Air and Scare. So the Air and Space Museum has another facility out in Virginia somewhere called the Uverhausen. It's this huge hangar where you can see the SR-71 and you can see one of the space shuttles and shit. But every Halloween, they get a bunch of costumers to come out and like do events and stuff and pose with the kids. We could definitely go around there taking like crazy photos of people and nerdy stuff.
I would be super curious about that. I'm always gun shy about wandering around places with my camera with children. So just going to throw that out there. Yeah, There's a difference in street photography and like, I'm going to go take pictures of kids in costumes. Like, no. I would also argue that Halloween's a weird time because I'm not the biggest fan of clowns, just kind of in general.
That's true.
So there's probably 100% chance of some dickhole dressed up as some creepy ass clown who wants to hug all over everybody, because it seems to be like it's the costume of choice for like guys who have like screen names or Twitter handles of like 420 blaze it, but like very clearly live in their mom's basements and have pot bellies and shit like that. Like, just if you're balding and think the world's against you, there's a good chance that you're probably dressing up as a clown for Halloween, and it's lazy as fuck.
I think checking out seeing what else is going on like around cities, because I feel like cities have a lot of opportunities for festivals of this kind and like you know, running around and stuff. I would have suggested the Folklife Festival in DC, because that used to be a week long thing, but it is no longer a week long thing this year because of the shutdown. So they've turned the Folklife Festival into a Folklife concert, and it's a one day thing, which is still maybe interesting, and it's free. But that could be an interesting thing to check out.
I feel like it's going to be a lot of the same photo.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. A lot of free spirits and a lot of crystals.
July 4th.
Both physically and women named Crystal.
Yeah, that's true. July 4th is always a big thing somewhere.
Somewhere. Not necessarily here. You only live like right outside the nation's capital, but not... Yeah. Not here per se. Yeah.
Well, going to DC on the 4th of July is okay. Until you have to go home at night when everyone else is trying to go home, and then it's terrible. So, I mean, we could do it during the day and then leave way before the fireworks start.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Yeah. I think like looking for things that are going around town, I think that would be a lot of fun. And it's,
I'd be interested in that.
It's super doable, you know, and people don't give a shit if you have a camera out. Like at the funk parade, no one gave a crap.
Right. Yeah. Like I think that's got to be the thing is learning those places that they're OK, because you can't just do street photography unless you're in like New York, where people expect that sort of thing. And it's not weird. Mm-hmm. I guess you could probably get away with it in LA, like probably some of the bigger major cities you could probably get away with it, but like there ain't no fucking chance I'm just gonna wander around Baltimore with a camera in my hand. Like
maybe Inner Harbor, but yeah.
No. Jamie Noguchi, what are you geeking out about?
So last weekend Kelsey and Grig hosted a kaiju movie marathon.
Yes.
So Audrey and I took Hazel. We actually went up Friday night, and the tradition is whenever we go visit Kelsey, Hazel gets to watch Thor Ragnarok.
Honestly, that's solid. Like, I almost want that policy myself.
Yeah. So after dinner on Friday night, Hazel was like, "Could I watch Ragnarok?" And we were like, "Okay. You might not be able to finish it, but yeah, let's watch it." So like for the fourth or fifth time, Hazel sat through, and we all got into it. So we watched the whole thing, of course.
Nice.
Because we're terrible parents. And then
No, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, hang on. Look, please understand. I don't have kids, but I think that's a strong fucking statement. Like, just one, in general, but two, of all the things for you to judge about, Ragnarok? Really?
Well, I mean, she loved it. Like, she
Right, but we're not talking about sitting her down and watching the Eric Bana Hulk movie. Like, yeah, we're talking about Ragnarok.
That's true.
Like, of the Marvel movies, I was fucking up there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And during the last fight where they're on the bridge, Hazel just starts yelling. She's like, yeah, superheroes doing superhero stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just like punching in the air. And Audrey and I were just like, whoa.
You know what? I love that. That is the most pure response to that, but you put 15 years on her, and that's the most condescending thing I think I could ever hear anyone say. Yeah, superheroes doing superhero stuff. Like, yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, because if I said that, it would be like, oh, look, superheroes doing superhero stuff.
Right, yeah.
But coming from a five-year-old,
yes.
Just, like, screaming, yeah. Like, and visibly 100%. Shaking, just going like, ah.
100%, yeah.
And so the next morning was the movie marathon. There were a bunch of nerds over, came by and hung out. Hazel saw five Godzilla movies. Five Godzilla movies.
Okay. One, I'm thoroughly impressed. She managed to sit through, at least I'm assuming, a good portion of five Godzilla movies.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't even think you know what? I know. I'm not interested in sitting through five Godzilla movies, at least not back to back.
Yeah, it was a treat. The first one was I don't even remember the title because this particular movie has like 15 different fucking names, but it's okay. The one where Manila, Godzilla's quote unquote son, talks, and it features this kid running around and stuff like that. So, he falls asleep at various places and has this dream where he's meeting Godzilla's son, Manila, and Godzilla's son is like his height, but then all of a sudden grows to be like, you know, kaiju size and stuff. But the line I always remember from this movie is like, Godzilla tells me I should learn to fight my own battles. And I've told this to Audrey a bunch of times, and she's like, where the fuck is that from? And she finally saw the movie and she finally heard the quote and she was like, that's where that dumb shit thing is from, keep saying.
Wait, hang on. Is Manila the one who looks like that guy, Eric Stoltz from that movie Mask?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure I got that right.
He looks like the Michelin Man, but incomplete. And
so just – wait. So just a lot of rings stacked atop each other sloppily?
And just wrong. Just wrong. Just fucking wrong.
You know, here I was thinking that my reference was old and inappropriate, and here you are just coming right to meet that bar. So thanks for that. Kids, yeah. By the way, STOLTZ, for those of you following along. Anyway.
Movie 2, Godzilla versus yep. Megalon. I forgot how good this fucking movie is, but it features Jet Jaguar. If you've seen Spider-Man, the first one with Tobey Maguire and...
it doesn't matter. Keep going.
The Green Goblin guy.
Willem
Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe. Yes. Jet Jaguar looks like the Green Goblin mask. Like, the Green Goblin mask is pretty much Jet Jaguar except green.
Yeah, yeah, that's 100%.
But yeah, Godzilla versus Megalon has Jet Jaguar and Gigan. I forgot Gigan was in it. So Gigan has the hooks and the buzzsaw chest and the beak and the horns and stuff.
Wow.
One of Godzilla's best villains. But that movie was amazing. Hazel fucking loved that. Then we saw the Heisei era Godzilla versus Mothra. That one has Mothra and Batra. So Mothra and Batra fight, and then they team up to defeat Godzilla. And I'm still unclear as to why Godzilla attacks people, but whatever, who cares? But yeah, she survived that one. Then movie number 4 was actually Gamera versus Gauss. And someone brought over the MST3K version. So we saw that. And I...
Here we go. This is where Jamie pisses off a lot of nerds.
Yes, because I do not get MST3K. Because the entire time we were... The entire time we were watching these movies, we were all shitting on it and all making jokes and cracking jokes and stuff. And now we're watching other people crack jokes while they're watching the movie. And I never understood the appeal to that. And also, they weren't very funny, at least to me.
Okay, hang on a second. Did you ever used to watch these movies by yourself?
Yeah.
Did you ever used to make the jokes to yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. People who don't openly make jokes to themselves about these things and crack themselves up, who aren't creative enough, love Mystery Science Theater because they're doing it for them. It's having friends without actually inviting anyone over.
Okay.
Who brought the copy over?
I'll tell you when we get off.
Okay, that's who I thought.
I think you can.
That answers your question.
I think you can.
That answers your question.
Yeah.
There are a lot of friends that I have that love Mystery Science Theater. And if you were sitting at home, and I've been guilty of this, there's a Saturday, it happens to be on Sci-Fi or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's funny in the background because none of the movies that they review, honestly, are probably worth really watching.
Sure.
They're probably subpar movies in and of themselves, and that's why those guys are tearing them up. And it cracks me up because I don't necessarily have to have it on and pay attention to it. Mystery Science Theater is great to do work to.
Sure.
Because the guys will start making jokes, and then that's when you'll start to pay attention. The rest of the movie is kind of non-existent at that point.
Yeah.
So when you're actually in a room with other funny people, you don't need to put that on. If you feel as though you need to put that on, there's a good chance that you don't feel confident enough to make these jokes, and you probably should just keep your mouth shut while the funny people handle the shit. Jamie Noguchi, Mystery Science Theater in a group full of people is what some of us like to call tell. And frankly, I don't care if I'm throwing shade because equally I'll enjoy it. But I would never I could very easily see even going to a movie theater or something like that for a special event for Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, sure.
Or do it live or something like that.
Yeah, I totally a Fathom Events kind of thing.
In a group full of people.
Yeah.
But the idea of hey, let's get 14 people over in my living room and then have us watch other people make jokes about the thing that we're going to openly make jokes about. No, get better friends. Get better friends.
That's my thing.
You had a room full of people and you all were waiting around for the other guys to make jokes. You don't need that.
Yeah.
We've had enough of sitting around listening to Marty and Ross trying to be the funniest guys in the room. You don't need it. You just don't.
It's true. It's true. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Also,
by the way, I don't think you liked it because, frankly, you were pissed off about them not shutting the fuck up in the first place because you actually wanted to enjoy the movie compared to the other ones where you could just enjoy the movie. And you wanted to be able to throw your own jokes out and they're fucking up your flow.
Well, yeah. And they weren't very funny.
That's the thing is, I don't think they could have been funny out of context. If you're just sitting there by yourself, you may have actually laughed at some of them. But you were so annoyed by the existence of them doing this shit in the first place. Yeah. By the time you get 20 minutes in, you're like, yeah, that's very fucking funny. Can we move on? And
it always goes to the race stuff. They're making fun of the Japanese names and mispronouncing things. And I'm just like, that is the lowest of the low. If you're going to pretend that you're a comedian, just aim higher, please.
Who brought them? Go on. Go on, tell me who brought them.
No, you know who did.
Yep.
You fucking know. You don't have to guess. And so it's
I love how awkward this is. Go on.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I used to go to movies in College Park at the Beltway Plaza where people would just yell at the screen the entire time, especially if the movie was shit. And it was always funnier that way. It was always funnier that way.
Right, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Making jokes at movies that we've all seen totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It's the Die Hard Christmas thing. You get a bunch of friends over, Die Hard's on. Everybody's fucking seen Die Hard at this point.
Yeah.
You all can make jokes about shit. You can repeat lines. It ends up becoming when it's done in jest and it's fun, when it's one part Rocky Horror and one part kind of Mystery Science Theater where we're all razzing these parts and cheering these parts and knowing the lines. That's a genuine appreciation for the thing.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there I don't think this is going to be good and I sure hope these white guys are funny. There's – as one of those guys, I get this. Like, yeah. Want to be the funniest people in the room? Fucking not. Yeah. So, yeah, like.
Yeah. And that has always been my complaint about MST3K. Anytime anyone has ever brought it up to show me, it's always been in a group situation after we had been spending time shitting on a thing. And I'm just like, come on, guys, we've done this.
The way that should be handled is, have you ever seen yada, yada, yada? And if the answer is, yeah, it was terrible, then the response should be, I really love the Mystery Science Theater version of that. You should look that up and watch that. I think it'd be a fun thing for you to watch. Because you having it on while you're working on something else in the background, mm-hmm. commiserating with these guys about the same shit that you were annoyed about,
yeah.
totally makes sense. By the way, don't watch them for monster movies, especially Japanese monster movies. Of course, they're going to pick low-hanging racist fruit.
Yeah.
The ones that you want for them, if I were to give them any credit at all, at this point, I feel terrible about it because I understand I'm basically making excuses for them, are old school horror movies.
Sure.
Old school horror movies are great for them because they can pick on the costumes. They can pick on how dopey everything is. They can recognize an actor from something else and something else where like they'll make mistakes about actors. And like that shit is funny.
Yeah. And they're no minorities. So they won't go into the race humor that they can't pull off.
Yeah. I think they did like an old school like Night of the Living Dead one or something like that or something very similar to a knockoff version of that.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun because – you know, it's a lot of like, you know, zombies knocking on doors and all sorts of dumb shit or whatever it is. And then mm-hmm. shouting at the like all of these things make sense.
Right.
I really think that given the situation, you were primed to be pissed off at them in the first place and then followed through in kind.
Yeah. Actually, halfway through that movie, we took Hazel to a park because she was getting slightly antsy. And but it was
she just listened to racist commentary for the last hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. And then we came back and final movie of the night, Mechagodzilla 2, which was a lot of fun. Hazel loved
it. Is this the one where Mechagodzilla breakdances to save the teen center?
The teen center. Yeah. Mechagodzilla and Gigan put a group together so they can save the.
Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so she loved it. I had tried to show her a couple of Godzilla movies before, but I always made the mistake of showing her the 90s era one where Godzilla is kind of a, he's always angry and he's sort of an anti-hero. So he's smashing things, but he's also saving the earth instead of the kid friendly ones, the silly goofy ones. Because I'm an idiot.
Did you forget your audience? You forgot your audience.
I did forget the audience.
Yeah, you were like, you're going to watch the ones that I love and we're going to appreciate these together. Jamie, you've got a finite window of that. Like,
I know.
She's got to be like 10 and a half. And she's still really interested in making you happy.
Yeah.
And decided that you're a fucking idiot yet. And is still impressionable enough that she's into the same shit that you're in. Like, you got a 6-month window of those. Prime those days. Just be like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to skip school. We're going to pop popcorn. We're going to watch Godzilla all day. She'd be like, fuck yeah, we are. And you're gonna get done in that brief window.
Yeah.
Like, this is the sort of thing that you're going to hold on to. And then when she's like 19 going off to college, you'll give her like a thumb drive at that. Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
Yeah,
you'll
yeah.
insert the movies into her wrist or something.
Yeah,
and you'll be like, hey, so I got this for you just in case you ever get bored and you just miss dad. Here's all of the Godzilla movies we watched for nine. She'd be like, this is the best one.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That'll be great.
Godzilla. Reminder now.
Yeah.
Right the fuck now.
Yeah. Godzilla versus Megalon is on that list because that movie is a fucking gem. That one is great. It has everything. It has Godzilla doing a double kick on his back. I mean.
Oh, the tail slide thing?
The tail slide thing. It has Godzilla walking in going like.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Like a fucking pro wrestler. It has Godzilla doing this like. Two times I'm going to kick this motherfucker. Two times.
By the way, Jamie, if you ever want to appreciate a Mystery Science Theater level joke, you play literally just cue up Queens I Want It All to him coming in with the arms up.
Yeah.
Perfection.
Yeah. I mean, Godzilla's a badass in this thing. He just.
Yeah.
And Jet Jaguar flying around and shit.
That's fucking fish in a barrel for you.
Of course. Of course.
Like,
of course.
Duh. Of course, yeah. Of course you're going to sing the praise of Jet Jaguar. Like, he could show up for a hot cup of coffee and be like, he's the fucking best and he looks amazing.
Jet Jaguar. Jet Jaguar. I'm going to do a month of just Jet Jaguar fan art, like Jet Swaguar with just the helmet and just an open-ass shirt. With like a Godzilla medallion.
We get to do, I get to help you come up with a month's worth of Jet Jaguar puns. Because that part I am super into.
I think that needs to happen.
Oh, I think that needs to happen. I'm so excited about that.
Jet
so
Swaguar. Excited. Maybe we should do that for Toku Tember. Maybe I'll do that for Toku Tember.
Just like have him in the woods. He's Jet Stagwar. And
Jet,
he just like.
Jet Stagwar. I need to make a zine. All right. We're making a zine. It's all Jet Jaguar stuff.
Get ready, SPX.
Yeah, I'm going to have it for SPX. I don't even give a fuck. My friend did a Totoro zine, and it's all him drawing Totoro like really crazy. There's one where Totoro's a tanuki with his giant ball sack hanging out and stuff.
Okay.
Jet Jaguar needs a zine. Jet Jaguar needs a zine.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all about this life. Yeah. We can totally come up with this.
All right, Brandon.
Sir,
I
feel like we just solved Jet Jaguar. I don't know if we're gonna be able to get past this. We should probably just wrap.
Yeah, we should just end it. But
anyway, what are we talking about this week?
So X-Men, and I feel like we've done this before.
Jesus fuck.
But it's timely because of the movie.
Please tell me about the allegory involving race relations that's fronted by a bunch of white people. Go on. Tell me about Stan's absolutely groundbreaking capability of telling the story of race relations by putting a bunch of white people in a situation of overcoming their own adversity.
It's so great.
Of a private school.
It's so great. It's the best.
Where they have a jet.
I think.
And money.
How? So clearly nobody likes this movie that just came out, which kind of makes me want to see it because I love watching shitty movies.
We should preface with neither of us have seen it. So wait, yeah. So we're not. What the fuck are we fixing then?
So Marvel is. After this movie, Marvel takes over everything. Marvel owns everything. So they get, right? They get their X-Men back, they get their mutants back.
Okay.
So my question is, at this point, do we give a shit about mutants on the movie, on the TV? And what can Marvel do to make us, if we do give a shit about mutants, what can Marvel do to make us give a shit about mutants again? Like,
what's a good X-Men story? You've read a lot of comics for a lot of years. Give me a good X-Men story. See, the fact that it's taking you this long to come up with a good X-Men story arc, because let's face it, Jean, it's bullshit.
I'm bored of Jean.
It's its own movie. Scott can fucking die in a fire.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a whole lot. Jubilee's an interesting story, but it's thin as fuck. Like, you get into the future shit or whatever it is, like Dazzler's rad, and you get into like the Mojoverse stuff or whatever it is, but that gets weird as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Guardians got fucking weird, and even that shit didn't make any sense. I assume Adam Warlock's supposed to show up at some fucking point, but good luck explaining in the middle of fucking America what the hell that's all about.
Yeah.
So, realistically, like, we've got...
And that's the other thing, like, they've been away from the Marvel Universe for so long. I was thinking about this, like, all the heroes that are in the Marvel Cinematic Universe have been created by science. Like, Iron Man builds his own suit. Steve is from the Super Soldier program. The only kind of mystical thing, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were made by one of the Infinity Stones. But like all the heroes are science based. There's no like mutation, super being, superhuman thing. We got aliens, okay. But like,
right, but like realistically, First Class is the only one who got close to tackling it, and they fucked it up because they had a real opportunity to set a period piece in the proper timeline, and then still whitewash the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that movie I fucking love. Like, of the X-Men movie, I will probably fight people over how good that one is. And I think the only compelling story that you actually have to tell is the one that they basically told, which is of Magneto. Because right. Michael Fassbender having the whole story of Auschwitz and everything that happens along with that, then at least you have a character who has a story arc, who actually has to deal with race relations and actually having their life put on the line and has to overcome all of this and then is granted ridiculous powers and then comes to grips with the idea of his own power and punishing everyone else for the, you know, for the atrocities that were committed against him.
Yeah.
And there's a real anti-hero sort of thing where it's like, is he justified in some of the terrible shit he's doing? Yes, but should he still be doing it? No. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. So like, but you get the idea of where like he won't fucking trust anybody who is not one of his crew. Mm-hmm. So like, I get that part.
Right.
I don't want to remake that because frankly, I thought Michael Fassbender did a fucking fine job.
Yeah. I don't think you recast Magneto because that was great. As right, bad as these movies have been, he's like, good in them.
Right, but like realistically, if you broke up his portion of it and you just turned it into a thriller novel telling the backstory of Magneto and him hunting people down, mm-hmm. that part where he basically was auditioning to become the new 007, where he's like in Brazil with all the Nazi fucks in the bar or whatever it is,
yes.
that's a great scene.
Yes.
And that's a compelling story, but that in a universe full of characters, that is the only one that I can think of off the top of my head. Now, please understand, I am sheltered in the sense that I have only read some of the major stuff, and I'm not as much of an X-Men story fan as other people. I'm sure there's going to be somebody shouting at their fucking podcast machine, being like, you're a sheltered moron. What about Bishop? What about Forge? What about whatever? And like, you are probably 100% right. But I asked the question to counter that, which is it mainstream marketable enough, or do you think there's a good enough story to be written about this? I need someone in the X-Men universe to be a comparable story level character to a Iron Man. Because mm-hmm. Iron Man broke the mold for Marvel. He wasn't one of the top guys. He was a B-level hero up until that point.
Yeah, I would say C-list because like
– and maybe C-list, but you get what I mean. Like what are we really talking about as far as the story arc of the X-Men? Like – they're like, you've got what? You've got Jean and you've got Wolverine and you got Cyclops. You've got Professor X.
I'm kind of bored of them, honestly, at this point.
Right. Like, you had an opportunity with Nightcrawler. There was a bit of a story arc there, and with Mystique having her own issues, and like that stuff made sense, but that doubles back to the fact that like it really does reinforce that I thought First Class kind of fucking nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask the question now, where are we at with this sort of thing? Do we flash so far forward that we're past all this crap? Or, like, we're in what, current timeline now with this new X-Men movie?
I think it's the 90s.
90s? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the 90s.
So realistically then, we're recasting them for a current film then, again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some point along the way, somebody's got to explain to me what the fuck happened to Michael Fassbender between like 1995 and like 2003. Like, somebody's got to fucking bridge that gap. Like,
I'm assuming that now that they're in the fold, they're going to pull another Spider-Man. They're going to recast everybody and they're just going to stick them in somehow. But I don't know if they work in the phase what? Four.
Why not? Because New York's not that big of a fucking state and they should have been tripping all over each other already?
That's part of it.
Where the fuck were they at during the main event?
That's another part of it.
Where were they with Thanos?
That's another part of it.
Like, what's going on with all that crap? Like,
that's another part of it.
They would not put them in the current timeline or go way the fuck in the future and talk about the, like, there's got to be some sort of very clean line here of what the fuck they were doing while all of this other shit was happening. Mm-hmm. If you like, the only way I see this really working, I mean really fucking working, is one, absolutely only one X-Men that you recognize. One. This way they can be a centralizing point of being a leader for everybody. You do almost new version of it where like Wolverine rebuilds the mansion and like reopens the school and like Shadowcat's there and a bunch of other like, and you basically there's rough outlines, but like I don't need to necessarily know who all the kids are, right?
Right.
You introduce an entirely new cast of kids who need this sort of guidance. Mm-hmm. And then you introduce such an aggressive real world race relations problem when it comes to mutants, where you basically very clearly show some sort of Senate figure, presidential figure,
mm-hmm.
who is not talking about races but is talking about mutants.
Yeah.
And is talking about how he thought that the real problem was this when he realized that it's really this. It's a lot of incredibly pointed, very direct statement, and we really fucking tackle it. And
yeah.
You actually use mutants the way that the story was intended to tell the story about race without actually mentioning race.
I think that's what's been missing this entire time.
Do that.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing is like at the very least, that's why I thought First Class was good, because it leaned on it a bit. Like it wasn't afraid to do it because it was a period time piece.
Yeah.
I don't think it went hard enough in the paint though.
Yeah.
Like you needed to be willing to actually tackle the problem. I need someone to be an actor to be so vile that they actually they make you uncomfortable with their rhetoric.
That's like, that's what it needs. That's what this movie needs. It needs you to feel uncomfortable.
Of like legislative looking dudes who are willing to make you uncomfortable on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually like you hear some of these sort of conversations, you hear what's going on, and you start to realize that like the mutants are on such a back foot where they're not necessarily fighting for anything, but they're fighting for their life. And the story arc of everything isn't saving the world. It's saving themselves. And the real fear is like the Sentinel program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the Sentinels learning what's going on and some sort of like, God damn it. Cause I feel like I'm tiptoeing into like Iron Man 2 territory. Like somebody gets control of the Sentinels and then they turn on the people or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But like, well, and maybe that's got to be well, – actually, you know what? Fuck it. That's it.
Well, the thing
the
about –
the same guy who institutes the Sentinel program starts with mutants and then starts erasing races.
Well, the thing about
– go with it.
The horror about the Sentinels is that they are programmed to seek out and hunt mutants. But they realize – but it's a computer program. There's no genetic distinction between mutants and humans. And that's when the Sentinels go nuts and start wiping everybody out.
I think it's got to be way more direct. I think it's got to be some sort of thing of like this dude registers his like Aryan bullshit blood or something like that. And anybody who
okay.
genetic code yeah, anything yeah. the like, whatever, they immediately become a target. Like it has to be so so beyond what everything is. And like I know there's going to be a ton of blowback about this, but like I want it to be almost a like, hey, this is how bad shit could really get, where these Nazi fucks get control of super robots and they make the decision of who's a mutant and who's not. Like that needs to be really the question is like,
yeah.
what counts as a mutant?
Yeah. 'Cause
the idea is it's a sliding scale. If you decide that these people with these powers are dangerous to everybody else, who decides what is actually dangerous? And once there's this legislative agenda and everybody starts nodding their heads and everybody becomes behind it, you watch people start to get really uncomfortable about everything, where uh-huh. your own personal fear starts to turn on everything and we start to realize how terrible all this shit is.
Yeah.
Like it has to get so ridiculously bad that people have to start rising up.
I really like this because like, that's what's been missing in all of these X movies. It never makes you feel uncomfortable. It never makes you question anything. It never puts a mirror to the problem that the initial story was supposed to be about, and reframing it this way, I don't even care who they cast. I don't even care
that's the fucking point is
yeah.
you can naturally cast a diverse cast and it doesn't have to necessarily have the, like, then that's why I was saying like you need one X person to be that centralizing point. I hope it's not Wolverine. I hope like it's gotta be it's got to be like Jubilee or Storm.
Oh, Jubilee would be great.
Forge or something where like they're a bit older. They like Jubilee would be great because if we did it where she joined in like the early 80s, where it kind of sounded like it was cast, by the time we get to now, she would actually be a teacher and have better control over her powers and have a better understanding and be able to teach them about what it's like to survive in this world and what have you. And she may never actually possess the power necessary to save everyone, but she can teach all of these other kids who are gifted with so much more potential than she is physically that they can actually be the changing factor in everything.
I like this a lot. And I think this needs to be in a separate universe from the current.
Yeah, it's way too fucking heavy to be part of this whole current Marvel universe.
Yeah, it's got to be a separate
thing. It's got to be its own thing. Like, and it has to be its own thing. Yeah. And I don't care if you want to make it a period timepiece or whatever it is, but like, it has to be not afraid to be what X-Men, to my understanding, was supposed to be. Yep. Like, X-Men was race relations for soft-ass white dudes in the 70s. Like, that's what it was.
Yep.
And I'm grateful the fact that it was willing to broach the topic, but I don't think it did enough. Mm-mm. And I can appreciate the characters, and I can appreciate how far it's come in a lot of ways, and I'm a fan a lot of ways, but, like, if we're going to fucking tackle this shit, can we stop doing this soft-ass version?
Yeah,
like,
gloves off.
Right, yeah, like, I'm allowed to watch Wolverine's daughter fucking eviscerate people because she's abused and what have you. I'm allowed to watch Michael Fassbender chop a Nazi up or whatever it is with his brain and a knife. But we can't talk about how racist as fuck some of the stuff is. Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
Like, can we not just tackle that shit?
Yeah. And it would in my mind, it would kind of elevate the form too, because superhero movies are fun to watch and I love them, but they don't really say anything. And this would say something. This would say something.
Right.
And you could do like it low budget. You know, it doesn't have to be like a bajillion dollars.
I worry about doing TV series because I worry we're going to tiptoe into fucking like Heroes territory, which way too into its own self.
Yeah.
But I wonder if just a movie where they start to broach all of this sort of thing, you could do a trilogy of them.
Yeah.
Where like we end the first movie on a fucking down note.
Yeah.
Like it's about them fighting everything and them dealing with a bunch of shitheads, and the last scene that you see is them like standing in the garden of you know what's left of the X-Mansion or something like that after it's raided by federal agents or what have you.
Yeah.
And that's when the Sentinels start to fly over, and the last thing you see is a Sentinel land in the yard, and it's just freeze mutants.
Yeah.
And then scene credits. You realize shit's about to be on.
Yeah. You come out with your empire. Don't test the waters with another movie to see if it'll work. Just come out with your empire. Just
come out with fucking empire. But, right, because like the second one could be the arc and training everybody, and then the last one could be where you land. And if we need to end up with I don't know, like, or maybe you go even harder and you go like, was it Genosha? Like,
yeah, where Genosha.
We go super hard and we start tackling, God forbid, things like internment camps. Shit that we just want to fucking ignore as a society.
Exactly, like, yeah.
Let's start tackling that. Like, there's so much shit that the X-Men actually tackled in that soft ass way.
Uh-huh.
Like, could we, like, I really wish that there was some sort of like idiot's guide for like 13-year-old white dudes when they're reading X-Men. Just be like, hey, so you should open a history book to this or Google this, like,
right,
some
right,
sort of
right.
Like footnote where like, yeah, Genosha's here, you should probably Google the following things.
Yes.
And just like educate this kid on the world and watch him go, this is real fucked up, and then get right back into everything, having a much better understanding.
That I love this because this is what has been missing from the X-Men, and it's a nice way to do something different, to actually make it say something, to separate it from what's gone before. And if you're gonna do the X-Men, say something with them. Do something.
Say something.
Say something.
You've got this platform. Yeah. You've got this very clearly written platform with a backbone and storied history and a ton at this point now. Jesus fuck. If you can't spin the wheel of random mutants and come up with seven real solid characters,
yeah,
and then go, okay, I've got in this hat nine names of old school X-Men, and we're going to reach in and we're going to pick somebody, and then we're going to take a dartboard, and then we're just going to cast whoever lands that dartboard.
Yeah.
And whoever the fuck it is, like, we pick somebody.
Yeah. Get him in there. Get him in there. And it doesn't need it doesn't need to be a crazy long movie. You know, it doesn't need to be a 3-hour epic. You could tell the story in an hour and a half.
You want to really fuck with this shit? You make Fassbender the actual one.
Yeah.
You make Magneto the one who has to reluctantly tell these kids what's going on.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
He's been sitting on the sidelines long enough. He's done with this shit. And that's the true thing. Or, like, honestly, Magneto's the story arc of the second movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. the idea of, like, you open up the second movie with the Sentinel landing, and the first thing you see is the Sentinel suddenly fissure splits down the middle, it rips completely in half, and you hear Fassbender 30 feet up yell, "Run!" And just everyone fucking scatters, and that's how they start the second movie. Just fucking everybody, just full on pandemonium.
Yeah.
And him, like, grabbing a dumpster or something like that off the premises, telling them all to climb in, and then fucking flying them out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, we've got goddamn Rogue One just taken off to the races, where it's just a battle for human rights, and just it's fucking on like Donkey Kong.
Because you can, like, the first one needs to be heavy, I think, but like the subsequent one could still be an action film, and you're still saying something.
You can still do the thing. You can have a battle for rights.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. It's the reluctant anti-hero. It's Fassbender going, I burned my bridge with society. I can help you, but I can't be this face. I can't be the leader. And that's where you've got your Jubilee, or possibly some sort of character from the first movie, a younger actor who has kind of very clearly become a fan favorite, or has risen to the top of, like, you didn't want to be you're the reluctant hero, but you've got gravitas and you know what you're doing, and you've got that thing that people gather around.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Not because you're the most powerful, but because you're the most humble and you're the person to lead them to this.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be the person.
Yeah.
And it needs to not be fucking Jean Grey. It needs to not be Jean Grey. Yeah.
I like Jubilee because I've always had a soft spot for Jubilee, but I like Jubilee.
I like Jubilee too. I thought of Jubilee because I'm trying to think of, like, younger X-Men who have really actually had to overcome adversity.
Yeah.
So having to kind of deal with a bit of that, I think you could very easily do a different take on Beast. You could do a different take on. Right. Like, but I'm trying to think of, like, people who could very easily walk into Congress and people wouldn't realize they're a mutant.
Yeah. That'd be great. I want to see this now. I want to see all of this now. And if you need, and if you absolutely need to bring them into the proper universe, you finish this trilogy, and then you have your dumb, stupid, like, all mutants attack thing, where, like, they open up a portal to one of the, because they've already opened up the multiverse with, like, Endgame and all that kind of. Did you see Endgame yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Sorry. Spoilers.
It's fine. No, honestly, okay, let me be clear. If you haven't seen Endgame yet, or you didn't see it within, like, the first 3 weeks of the thing coming out, it's not a top priority for you. I'll watch it. I know what happens. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not confused about it. I'm not butthurt about it. I'll watch it when it comes out. Rad. I'll enjoy the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Stop forcing other people to deal with your shitty time management. Seriously. Genuinely.
So,
like, you don't have to be a dick the first 2 weeks, but Jesus Christ, once it, week three, that shit's on you.
It
really is.
Yeah. Well, they introduced the concept of branching universes, so the X-Men could definitely live in their own little thing. If you need them to cross over, it's there.
No. Tell one good story with a character and follow through with that fucking thing and stop just fucking peppering. It's
But after.
Not every fucking Marvel movie needs to be a gumbo of fucking people. Like, just fucking just. Is there something so wrong with just a pasta with red sauce? Just a handmade pasta. Homemade red sauce. A little bit of basil, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of oregano, just a touch of salt. Just nothing else. You don't need to add meatballs or chicken par or whatever it is, or Olive Garden bullshit. Or just a delicious, really well-made red sauce and just some pasta made with care.
So,
and then fucking leave it be.
So no crossovers for you. No crossovers for you.
Why? To do what? Who are they going to fight?
It's only for the money. It's only for the money.
Who are they going to fucking fight? Galactus? There's no marginal scale for that. Yeah. I still can't fucking figure out how big Galactus actually is. Does his hand squash a city? Can he actually eat a world whole? Is there some sort of pumping system? I could never understand. Is Galactus 400 feet tall? There's no fucking scale. Like, there's no one else.
This is if I'm Galactus size, this is Earth.
Right. How does Wolverine fight that? You just die.
You just die. Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
End of the game.
Yeah.
There's no one else to fight. You had Thanos. Half of everybody's fucking gone. What more? Like, what? Where are your stakes from here? Who?
That is kind of the problem now.
Like, we threw away Red Skull, like, just boom, he's gone. Like, yeah. We got rid of all the Nazi shit, and, like,
we
can argue about more Hydra shit. We can fight, like, Shield and Sword or whatever. Like, but there's no – Doctor Doom?
We don't have a Doom. We
don't have a Doom, but that means I got to put up with fucking Richard's lame ass. And Jesus fuck, do I not want to deal with whoever the hell – milquetoast motherfucker they are gonna cast is Reed fucking Richards. If we could get Dr. Doom but only get Thing, that's it.
I'm there. Yep.
Or we just bring back Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm and we never discuss it. We just never say a fucking thing. We completely ignore Reed and Sue, and it's just Johnny and Thing doing adventures. Like, turns out while everything else was going on, they were like solving crimes in Paris or something.
Shit
somewhere the fuck else.
Yeah.
Like, half of everybody disappear, and Thing's like, well, I guess it's going to be a tough month for the rent. And just, we move the fuck on. Like, it just, nothing fucking happened.
I like that. Just, and we get Doom.
Just super interested in whatever it is. But, yeah, like, who?
Yeah, I don't know who.
What's left?
Yeah.
Fang fucking boom? Like, where? What? Who? Like, there's no one else. You popped your big fucking Marvel chair. Where are you going? We can go into space, sure. But, like, Earth? The fuck out of here with that. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What's new Captain America? Who's new Captain America going to fight? A vending machine? Like, what?
He's going to fight Ennui.
We're gonna bring back fucking Batroc is what's going on. He's gonna kick his French ass again. Just new Captain. Yeah, we get George St. Pierre back as Batroc. He's fighting another ship. New Cap fucking Falcon comes blasting through the windows, right? And he looks confused as fuck, like, you kicked my ass, but you're white as fuck the last time. What the hell is going, like, just no no explanation whatsoever.
Sure. Oh, like, my god.
Where?
I don't know.
Who?
I don't know.
Nothing. It's nothing. Stop crossing over. Who the fuck? Why do we need more than two people together to fight anything left in the universe? Anything. At all. Like, let's assume Galactus should not happen because there's just no fucking way to actually defeat Galactus. Just done. Yeah. Like, other than fucking Reed's weird spawn who's somehow, like, able to blink existence out of existence or
and
whatever.
They usually don't. They usually convince Galactus to eat something else.
Which is real fucked up because that – there you go. You want to do that? Reed Richards has been low-key convincing Galactus to eat other planets, and representatives from every one of them have a fucking tournament and literally line up right at the fucking building to kick Reed Richards in the balls.
I like just, that. I like
just
that.
Just a series of just random species who just want to fucking kick Reed Richards' ass. Like,
and that's the movie.
If that's the case, cool. I am down with it. Yeah, yeah. Like,
yeah.
We can throw like Benedict Cumberbatch in it or something like that. Is he still alive? I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, he comes back.
Okay, cool. So right on. But good. Okay, so we can have like Cucumber Patch and fucking whoever they cast as Reed Richards just getting kicked in the nuts for like 45 minutes. It like, yeah. Because at this point, what are you left with? Like, the only thing I can really think of is like, what the fuck was it? Remember the Dexter's Lab episode, like way back in the day, where they cast Macho Man Randy Savage as Rasslor, and he showed up and basically like he showed up to like take out everybody, and he wanted to fight all the greatest. Like, if we wanted to have just a gigantic fighting tournament, basically almost like Ragnarok, but we actually do like World War Hulk or something.
Yeah.
Cool. That's it. It's Hulk going fucking ape on everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
because I know Hulk didn't have any like finished sort of thing or whatever it is. So like, no. If you want to just have him go like full bloodlust, like, you know what? That's it. We get Hulk a puppy, and then we put John Wick that shit, and Hulk fucking destroys everything. I mean, everything. Like, we just same universe. You just see like Hulk smashing New York, and just Keanu Reeves drives up in a muscle car, stares at him. They both nod at each other, and just different directions. just I got you.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, we can have like Ann McShane fucking center the entire universe. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Just Mr. Banner.
Mr. Banner. Welcome to the hotel.
Just like, seriously, yeah, like an oversized room with the fucking Continental as fucking Bruce Banner goes walking in.
Yeah, because they killed Hela, they killed the goddess of death. They killed a guy who can snap half of your people away.
Who else? They killed your big Nazi guy.
They killed the big Nazi guy.
They killed the director of Hydra.
They killed. They killed the big Kree executioner guy.
Okay, so he's done too. They took out, like, unless fucking Thanos has another kid who's stronger than him somehow that I didn't know about. Yeah. Fuck it. But I feel like we're dangerously tiptoeing into like Destiny story territory, where like there happens to be another bigger, badder guy that we didn't talk about somehow leading up to this point,
or
that
part
no
two.
One seemed to know about until someone shows up and Gamora's like, "Holy fucking shit, Larry's here. We're fucked." I mean, fucked.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like what.
I like the idea of Larry.
Just Larry. Just
Larry.
Just a team that strikes fear into the hearts of just planets.
Larry.
Yeah, just like no fucking explanation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just watching Star-Lord come to grips with like, wait, hang the fuck on. I'm supposed to be scared of a guy named Larry? And next thing you know, like, he like touches a planet and just fucking full on Alderaans, and he's like, "Fucking Larry, scary as fuck. Let's go."
Yeah, I
guess. Goddamn truck.
I guess they just have to make up new dudes because they've got all the heavy hitters out of the way.
Nah, come on, dude. Grey Gargoyle, he can totally take out.
Devil Dinosaur.
Okay. Okay. I'm still not figuring out where you're going with one dinosaur and the Avengers.
Mm,
Better yet, the Avengers and the X-Men, to get back to more your point.
Against Devil Dinosaur.
Who the fuck has to show up to help out? Like,
well, it's Apocalypse, wanna, but like, it's DC is Apocalypse, so it would be
if
Apocalypse.
If you wanna, like, have some sort of like weird interdimensional thing where like Thor shows up in the Savage Land and like half the X-Men happen to like just get blasted off their sofa and you want to do a crossover, fine.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, who do they fight?
Who? Each other? Why?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah. There's nothing literally that dangerous. You peaked. That's it.
I kind of think
you
they did
the thing. I know this is fucking uncomfortable. You did the thing. Good for you. You did the thing.
Yeah.
Who now?
Omega Red, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, if we want to make Russians scary again, we can do that, but that still feels like a fucking one-off movie.
Yeah.
That's not an Avengers thing. And honestly, how do the X-Men operate in a universe where the Avengers fucking exist, where S.H.I.E.L.D. happens, where the Avengers are involved in the government, and how does no one fuck – like, where's Black Panther when suddenly Omega Red is showing up in downtown fucking Westchester or whatever the fuck it is, wherever the mansion is? Like, how yeah. does he not like – well, fuck, I guess me and the general need to go kick this red dude's ass and like, save the country. Like, where? How? How does that even possible? How is someone with that much connection to technology just blissfully unaware of some sort of psychotic Soviet dickhole with giant whips for arms? Again, doubling back to fucking Iron Man goddamn 2.
Like, right.
Yeah, like,
where is Bord?
Right. Yeah. Russian. God damn, that fucking movie is fun and lazy as fuck. God, just he's Omega Red.
I want my board.
He's Omega Red. He is Omega Red. You got him. You got him already.
Fuck. All right. I can't. Now,
the only thing we missed out on is Hugh Jackman getting his ass kicked by Mickey Rourke. Like, and honestly, if we want to just do like a 10-minute YouTube video of just Mickey Rourke with the whips and just Hugh Jackman with the claws just kicking the shit out of each other, I'm good. Like, thing can literally end with the two of them bloody just hanging out in a bar together. Total draw. I'm fine.
Yeah. Drinking vodka.
Yeah. It can literally be like the end of Rocky 2. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Just the two of them finish their drinks, look at each other and go, ding, ding. And then just back inside again. And we never know how it ends. Just never know how it ends.
The only villain I think I can think of is Doctor Doom. And yeah, I mean, I don't know who else.
And that's the whole point. And what?
And money.
Don't do a crossover.
Yeah, I agree.
Let X-Men live in its own universe where you actually tackle the problems that the X-Men meant to tackle in the first place when it didn't have Stan Lee's soft ass in control of that shit because he didn't have the fucking stones to do what it should have been doing in the first place. Mm-hmm. Take it out of the fucking hands of Fox executives and hand it to somebody who has the actual gall to get the thing done the right way. I don't care who the fuck it is who needs to be that person to take that helm. But it needs to be somebody who isn't afraid to tackle some really uncomfortable shit in very direct ways.
Yeah, I like
that. The only way that this thing, that this conversation is going to become normalized in the sense of younger people at the very least is if we start fucking openly talking about it. And if we have to start doing it by shoehorning goddamn comic book characters into it, it's a whole fucking point of comic books in the first place. Let's do the thing that we meant to set out to do in the first place. Like, just stop pussyfooting around with that shit.
Yep, we solved it.
It's not a fucking hard concept. Like, yeah. if comic books weren't literally written by white dudes in the fucking 70s, we would have actually tackled this the right way. But they had executives up above them that went, I really want to tackle this thing. And they just went, make sure everybody's white, okay? And that's what we did.
Yeah.
And it was wrong then, and I understand why they do it, but it was still fucking wrong then. I understand it's hindsight being 2020 and everything, but like we're here now. We have the ability. We have incredible actors at our disposal to be able to do this thing, who want to do this thing, who want to tell this story. We have the capability. We have the wherewithal. We have the history. We have the understanding. We have the technology. What the fuck are we waiting on? What?
I'm sorry. Audrey is making faces at me on the other side of the
line. Oh, I know.
God damn it. God damn it. I agree with everything you said.
I got way too heavy there. No. It just it bothers the fuck out of me. Like,
yeah, we have the power, we have the technology to make it better. Let's make it better.
In the time where art matters and where people's interest in things take precedence over all other things, fucking back something up.
Yeah,
you have the ability to do it. We have the technology. We have a very comfortable example of casting a predominantly African-American fucking cast and putting out an absolutely fantastic film. We've covered it. We can cast diverse people in a natural setting so that nobody who fucking bitches about goddamn stormtroopers being black has a fucking leg to stand on. Not that I give a fuck what they think in the first place. Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ, could we just do the thing and tackle the relations problem the way we could – way we should have been in the first place, but fucking don't.
Yeah.
It just fucking do the thing. Stop it. Like, it's the X-Men. Why are we even debating this?
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares what they're doing in the goddamn Marvel multiverse? Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's interested in fucking Magneto's shit when he was in Brazil about what's going on with Thanos.
Right.
If there was really a multiverse crossover, the fucking thing that would have happened is Magneto would have shown up from a way distance. Thanos wouldn't have known he was there. He'd have taken that helmet, went squish, and then that'd have been it. And then fucking end of story.
Yeah.
End of conversation. He'd have squashed the gauntlet right around his hand. Stones go flying everywhere. End of conversation. And Magneto could have solved this problem in 20 minutes. 20 fucking minutes. So I don't want to hear about this crossover bullshit. You want to make it a different universe? Fine. But can we stop with that? Because realistically, what would have happened? Like, if fucking Falcon, right, sees Magneto, sees him be able to crush somebody in their own armor, looked around and went, where the fuck was this guy? Where the fuck was this guy?
Yeah, where was he the entire time?
where have you been?
Did you not see us all dying out here?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So respectfully, please don't do a crossover ever.
Yeah. No crossover
ever. Let that thing exist in its own universe. Let it exist separate from everything else. Let it tackle the things that it could be. Let it dig into its own thing. There are enough fucking X-Men or X-Men adjacent mutant characters to be able to have a universe inside of a universe inside of a universe. It's a goddamn turducken's worth of staff. There are more fucking mutants than there are WWE wrestlers. Like, it's two
goddamn true. Mutants.
It is. Like, just fucking pick a handful of them. Let's tell a great story.
Yeah.
And then we can start to expand and we can start to kill off some other people if we need to. And we just let the story naturally shift. And you could do another 15 fucking X-Men movies covering every goddamn direction that we want to. And you can have the big payoff being Magneto was right or not. Mm-hmm. And let that be the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let the character that you've grown up watching, realizing that on the one hand he's right, on the one hand he's wrong, he's being unfair to everybody else, he's gone mad with power, and you get to watch him slowly sink into madness while also feeling vindicated for everything that's going on. And then you get to watch the people who he trusted and who trusted him have to be the same people to take him down eventually and keep him in this cage because they can't willingly kill somebody that they care so much about. That's a fucking story!
Yeah.
The hardest part is not fucking killing Magneto. It's not killing Magneto.
Yeah.
It's respecting him enough, knowing that he doesn't deserve to die because God knows he's been through enough before you get to take your selfish bullshit and stab him in the goddamn stomach with your adamantium bullshit. Like, you don't do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's the fucking hard part. That's the story. That's the whole thing. You tackle the relations, and you tackle the personal stories. You tackle the overcome, and you let all that stuff overarch through. And you can let the underlying race relations still be tension that constantly bubbles up through everything. Mm-hmm. As Magneto is fighting everybody, and he's yelling at everybody, and he's screaming at them, don't you see what's going on? And they're basically being harassed, or people are being beaten in the street.
Yeah.
And he's, who are you going to fight, me or them? Who's the bigger danger here? Yeah. Me, them. I'm here to protect us. They're here to tear you down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking story arc. The fuck out of here with that Thanos shit. That's the one I want to see.
Yeah, I want to see it too. I want to see it too. I know they're sitting on them. They're going to sit on the X-Men for a while. I hope this gets out to somebody who's in charge to kind
I'm
of
sure
spark
I,
them to make it I'm make a thing.
Sure I am not the only one who is fucking banging this drum.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't be. I genuinely can't be.
Yeah.
And frankly, it shouldn't fucking come from me. Right. It shouldn't. I know it shouldn't come from me. I'm not fucking confused about that.
Yeah.
But like I know I understand I am in very much a sense preaching to the choir here about this. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are saying, yeah, you got this wrong. Believe me, I understand.
Yeah.
But I think I'm right about a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm on the right path, more importantly, about a lot of it. And I think we can all agree that superhero movies, given the popularity that they have the ability to be more than just popcorn films.
Yeah.
It can say something. Yeah. It can be entertaining and groundbreaking and beautiful and capable. It can do all of these things at once. It's okay to wear multiple hats about this sort of thing.
Sure.
Great films have the ability to do more than just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even great superhero films.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some of that.
Yeah. That's the only way this makes sense. That's the only reason to keep going and telling these stories. Like, yeah. Say something now.
Say something. Anything.
Yeah. You've made your money. You've made your point. Nerds are cool. We can do all this great stuff. Now say something.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to tackle these sort of things. If you want to use superheroes the way that they were intended, you use superheroes to tackle real world issues. You thinly veil what's going on with them with real relations that happen through the world.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about government corruption. You talk about relations with other countries. You talk about grips with religious views. Like, whatever you need to tackle. Ignorant, awful motherfuckers murdering journalists. Whatever it is, let's tackle that shit through the scope of superheroes in a more palatable way. So this way, kids who are 11 and 12 can figure out in a year or two afterward what they've really been watching.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize deep down that what's happening in front of them is fucking wrong. Because if it's wrong because it's happening to Captain America, it's wrong because it's fucking happening to everybody else.
Yeah.
That's the whole fucking point.
Yeah.
A little more of that. I'm cool with having the random throwaway ones. You want to do the fun ones? You want to have your Ant-Mans and everything else like that? Fuck it. Rad. Fine. I'm good with the fun ones.
Yeah.
But the big ones. The new Captain Americas, the X-Men especially. Let's fucking say something with those.
Yeah.
Let superhero movies run everything. Let some of them be heist movies. Let some of them be romping space adventures. Let them be the different things. We all came together for one big thing, but the Guardians need to be fun, romping space shit that tell a bit about personalities and overcoming your own personal demons. Cool. Box, put it over there. Awesome. You get, you know, Black Widow having her own series or whatever it is. That's your fucking espionage movie. You fucking send that off in the direction over there.
Yeah.
You're like, you have the ability to tackle these things in very different directions. You have a huge universe of established characters who are all incredibly diverse in just personality alone. Nevertheless, look, feel, and capability.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you can't tell six different stories from one universe? Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But then again, I'm a dude yelling in his own basement. So fuck.
All right. Well, I mean, I want to see it. I also I also want to see your version of the Fantastic Four with just two of them.
Honestly, it really is. It's just fucking like, I don't know. Pick somebody to cast as the Thing. I don't care who it is. Give me a good voice. I genuinely don't care. It doesn't have to be a grumbly voice either. Like, it can be something fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, Brandon. Where can people find you?
On Instagram, at that guy Chalmers, because I'm not gonna deal with the fucking cesspool that is Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter.
Delete the Twitter account, kids.
It's so It'll bad. Make happy. It's
so bad. It just delete it. It'll make you so much happier. So much happier. That's my campaign too. Delete your Twitter. Nothing good happens on
delete
Twitter.
Delete your Twitter, no. Motherfucker.
Nothing. When's the last time you had something good happen on Twitter? Seriously, ask yourself that question. Next time you open on Twitter, just ask yourself the question. When was the last time something good happened on Twitter?
That's true.
I mean, genuinely good.
That's true. Fuck,
never. That's true. Delete that shit.
It's fucking awful.
You ain't helping yourself. Just end your anxiety, man. You're better than that.
That's true.
Jamie Noguchi, where can they find you? On Twitter?
On Twitter. Angry Zen Master on Twitter. Jamie Noguchi on Instagram. I'm on Facebook too, but I usually just follow people I know, so...
same here, but honestly, like, if you reach out to me and you're like, hey, I heard you on the podcast, I'd really like to be Facebook friends with you, that's cool. I can't promise I won't like unfollow you, but also be friends with you, because I'm cool with being friends with people that I disagree with, so that's a-okay. But yeah, reach out to me, Brandon Chalmers.
All right, that's it for this episode. Bye.
Ah, shit. It is